It's been a whirlwind for Marquette basketball. What is actually going on? So many new recruits. Brian, it's been a while. We'll talk and regroup. It's been a while since we've talked, and we're also going to talk about another potential NBA player for Marquette, one that's even on the current roster right now. All ahead on Championship Blue.
Championship Blue.
And Marquette has won the national championship.
Go research how many schools have a national championship. It is hard as can be to win one of those suckers.
Championship Blue with Kevin Wells and Brian D.
Last time I looked in the dictionary, my name's Brian D.
What's your name?
Brian Fantana.
Brian?
Kevin attempted to try out for the team before figuring out the media was where he belonged.
Man, not that great at basketball, guys. Not that great.
Two Marquette grabs from two different eras.
Trying to avoid the upset. Blue the draw. The left hand. It's good. 1 second to play. Vander Blue has put Marquette in front by one.
Howard step back three again. And again. He drills it. He's got 50.
A team of Marquette guys talking Marquette hoops.
A team should be an extension of your personality. And my teams are thoroughly obnoxious and arrogant.
Championship Blue with Brian D. and Kevin Wells on Wisconsin On Demand.
So I really have to change that intro, Brian. Wojo's voice in the beginning there, and it's just time to switch it up a little bit. I've been real lazy about it, but now we have a new head coach.
I was shocked to hear Wojo's voice in the intro, Kevin. I thought you'd be on top of that. Yes, since the last time we got together, nothing's happened surrounding the Marquette basketball program, right?
It's almost glad that we took these few weeks off just to have everything happen in 2 days.
It is a really good thing, honestly. We took a little time and space to let this breathe because it's been a whirlwind since really the start of the NCAA tournament. So Marquette season comes to a premature end, bounced by Georgetown, who, oh, by the way, goes on to win the Big East tournament. Craziness. And that was our last Championship Blue. We talked about the path from that 8-9 game to winning the Big East tournament. And how we thought it was going to be Marquette, and we were sort of right. It just turned out to be the Hoyas that went on to win it.
Yeah, we picked the wrong seed and the wrong team.
And then right at the start of the NCAA tournament, bang, out of nowhere, and I was shocked by this, no pun intended this time, that Wojo and Marquette parted ways. I thought the contract was going to be restrictive, and that was going to keep Wojo employed for at least another year and give him another run back. In 2021, turned out not to be the case. Marquette wanted to move on. They wanted to move quickly, which turned out to be a great decision given all the college basketball head coaching openings that came available after the hiring of Shaka. And they go with Shaka Smart and bring him in. And man, just an unbelievable fit. And then, like you alluded to, the last 2 days have been wild with Shaka bringing in all sorts of talent from out-of-state recruits, in-state recruits, transfer portal. It's been gnarly, but first things first, give me your initial reaction to the Shaka Smart hiring when it happened.
I thought it was smart.
Damn you. Damn you. I thought I was in control of the puns.
Honestly, I did. Being completely transparent, it was on the back of my mind when we talked about it the last podcast was when you said that there's no way a donor is going to come up and, you know, and pay out the contract. I was like, you're probably right, but also, I don't know. It's been a lot of mediocrity. And sure enough, we get the news. It kind of came out of nowhere for it. Like, it was just like, whoa, this is happening. Yeah. And they're getting a new coach. And it happened within a week. They hired him the next week. Uh-huh. So I'm excited. This is, and with all the moves in the last 2 days as well, this is just going to be a completely different basketball team, a new look, a new offense, a completely new style. I'm hesitant, but excited. If that's the best way I can put it at this point in time. I don't know if Smart's going to be any better than Wojo. We don't know that yet, but at least we're starting to see, at least we have a higher ceiling now. We know what we're going to get next year. It's going to be different.
I'm not hesitant at all. I fall quickly in love, and man, have I fallen in love with Shaka Smart over the first couple of weeks of his tenure. it's honestly been really cool to see how he's described his vision for this program. And we talked a lot over the course of last season, Kevin, and Wojo's what turns out to be his final year, about how the team and the program really lacked a definitive identity, right? I said that a lot on Championship Blue. I said it on WTMJ, on ESPN Milwaukee. I think I even said it on some Marquette Athletic pregames. Like, the identity was just in flux for a long time, especially since Marcus Howard graduated. And the thing that you cannot fault Shaka Smart for at all in the first month, and you can't fault him for anything at this point, but he has such a clear vision of what he wants this program to be. It's enthusiasm, it's hard work. And then the word havoc comes to mind for me. Like, that was the casual understanding I had of Shaka Smart in his time at VCU. You had t-shirts printed where they wanted to make things crazy for the opponent. So he has a real definitive identity of what he wants a Shaka Smart basketball program to be. And he's bringing that and blending it with the values at Marquette University of family, of community service, of being a basketball school. It just really seems like a perfect marriage. The other thing that I'm really excited about too is we didn't hire some old antiquated white guy who was just going to get stuck in his own ways. Like, Shaka is a diverse hiring that fits into what the university is trying to build here. Not just the fact that he's a black man, but a young black man that can identify with the athletes, that's going to recruit really hard, that can identify with the student body and the fan base. Like, it's just, it seems like a perfect fit for Shaka Smart, Wisconsin native, fits into what the community at Marquette wants, and Marquette University, just a progressive, looking forward university that is just hardcore excited about basketball. Just seems like a perfect marriage.
And when I was talking, not talking to him, but when I was in that opening press conference at the Al, it just, the feeling was different. It was that smooth, I'm going to understand these guys. These are my players. They're going to do what they got to do. We're going to, you know, and it was easier to listen to him speak than it was to listen to Steve Wojciechowski speak. It was more kind to the ear. He just seemed like he got it a little bit more. He was more in tune with a younger audience, a younger team. And I don't know if that's going to make a difference. Again, how much of that is coach speak, right?
Yeah.
You mentioned he's got this identity, but a lot of that, again, is all these guys say, oh, we're going to do this, this, and this, and this is going to be a great team because of this, this, and this. And it's like, well, I want to see it on the court first, but the vibe was way different from a Wojo press conference.
Yeah, and I don't want to dance on Wojo's grave too much because he did some really good stuff when he was at Marquette, and I'm sure at the beginning of his tenure, we would have been saying the same things about him. Like, the excitement's there, the enthusiasm's there, and it was. But over the course of 7 years, with some of the things that went wrong, obviously that's going to tail off, and the message might have gotten a little bit stale at the end, and then you bring somebody new and fresh in, and of course we get excited about it. But all in all, awesome hire. And, you know, given the opportunities that came available after Marquette made the hire pretty quickly, it just seems like a slam dunk because all of a sudden, what, North Carolina comes open, Texas Tech comes open. I mean, there were other good jobs out there that became available.
Absolutely.
After
Marquette better jobs than Marquette, too.
I don't know about better jobs, but certainly ones that would have been enticing and attractive to anybody out in the market. So, all in all, awesome, swift, great hire by President Lovell, by Bill Scholl. It just seems like a great fit. And now, Kevin, we can transition into what's happened over the last 48 hours or so. It's hard to even keep up with the flurry of moves that have happened. Can you walk us through who we have on the roster now? It's been crazy.
Yeah, and we'll get into a lot of that with Ben, but the first thing with the Smart hire and him being able to bring in guys from the Milwaukee area, I was looking up some notes just from guys who have been recruited over the last decade at Marquette, and Wojo never once recruited a guy from the Milwaukee metro area.
That's interesting.
You know, it was Cam Murata, who was from Mequon, but he was walk-on and eventually got that scholarship. And then the last one was Dwayne Wilson from 2013, and that wasn't even one of Wojo's recruits.
He was Dominican, right?
He was Dominican, and then he transferred to Texas A&M, which, funny enough, you know, Shaka coming from Texas, whatever. That's no correlation there. But the idea that you're able to get a guy in David Joplin to come up and believe in you and believe that, hey, Milwaukee's got some cats that can play ball. Like, let's get the 13 guys who are great recruits in this area, and let's land one of the best ones and play for his hometown team. And he spoke with TMJ4 News yesterday saying, like, yeah, Smart believed in us. This is something that we haven't had happen. You know, they're going out of state.
Yeah. And it fell into place for Shaka, too, because Joplin was looking at Texas. Like, this didn't just, you know, happen out of thin air. Like, Shaka's in Milwaukee now. Let me go recruit this star from Brookfield Central. Like, there was a relationship there before. And Joplin even talked about it yesterday after his press conference. It was like the stars aligned for him that he was going to go to Texas and play for Shaka. And then Shaka came home to him, and he was able to stay home, and it just made sense. So,
and you have to wonder, too, if that's part of the reason they went after a guy like Smart, bringing him back home to recruit at home, because that was something they just didn't have. And Milwaukee has a lot of great basketball recruits, and they just have not chosen to play here in Wisconsin.
And once again, I want to be careful about dancing on Wojo's grave here because, I mean, he recruited Wisconsin incredibly well. Like, the Housers both came. Henry Ellenson was an enormously highly touted prospect from the state of Wisconsin that ended up at Marquette. So it's not like Wojo did a bad job. He did a really good job in Wisconsin. Maybe just not the city of Milwaukee, right in Marquette's backyard.
He did a good job of recruiting Wisconsin, but again, didn't do a good job of developing the players with those guys, like the relationships with those guys. So we'll see if Smart changes that. That's going to be the next couple of years. But it is important to be able to recruit in your own city, especially a city that is defined so much by basketball. And a lot of these guys are good players. This is going to make a big difference, especially if you want to start being a perennial NCAA team. Recruiting in your own city is huge.
And on top of that, it makes it an attractive destination for future
100%. Right? Yes, Milwaukee, that's what I was alluding to.
If Milwaukee kids are going to Marquette, future Milwaukee kids are going to want to go to Marquette. It snowballs. So, yeah, it's awesome. Joplin, certainly the headliner, but Amarion Ellis, another kid that is going to fit well, hopefully, with DJ Carton in the backcourt because they're both from the same Quad Cities area in Iowa. So that works out great. Previous Texas commit that is coming to play for Shaka here in Milwaukee. Keon Atijere, I think I've got the last name pronunciation correct there. He's joining. A-10 Freshman of the Year, Tyler Kolek, transferring from George Mason to Marquette. You got a combo guard there. And there's another facet of this that is really fascinating to me from a Shaka perspective. But we thought that was going to be the group there, the four of them, Joplin, Ellis, Atijere, and Kolek. And then we're recording this on Thursday, April 15th in the morning. And we got another one popping today.
Yeah. Maxence Prosper, right?
Yeah.
From Clemson.
Transfer, right? So Marquette's now
that dude's big.
Yeah, and that's the common thread with all these guys. And I remember hearing Buzz Williams talk about this when he was at Marquette, Kevin. Like, Buzz didn't recruit by position. He didn't recruit point guards or shooting guards or power forwards or centers. He tried to recruit guards and forwards. And what ended up happening is he was recruiting guys that played on the line between guard and forward. He would recruit guys that were between 6'5 and 6'7 height-wise, that had great ball skills and could shoot, but it could also drive to the rack. So you created these combo guys like Jay Crowder, right? Lazar Hayward fit into that mold for sure. You get these guys, Jimmy Butler played on that line as well, between guard and forward.
Guys who can switch with at least three positions on the floor too.
Versatile on offense and on defense, right? And these guys seem to fit into that sort of mold where they're big, lanky, strong guys that can kind of play on that line and be super versatile and long and athletic. That seems to be what Shaka is going for here. So all in all, a really cool 48 hours here for the Marquette basketball program, seeing Shaka land all these guys.
Yeah, it's a facelift. It's a completely new team. And this is, like you said, there's not going to be a true big man on this team. Garcia is going to be your tallest guy at 6'11". We'll see if he sticks around. I'm hoping he does. I'm going to put my money on he will and not be drafted. Obviously, we're hoping he's going to do what he's got to do, but the selfish fan in me really wants him to stay because he's a huge difference maker and he's your best player. But again, having guys who can switch in multiple spots and just be able to – they lacked rebounding so much last year too. The rebounding and scoring, I mean, it's why they were under 500. I mean, it was pathetic. Again, if you got a lot of these guys who are 6'8", 6'9", with wingspans that long, I mean, it's going to wreak havoc. You know, it fits into his system. It's a new day. It's exciting. It's hard not to look forward to, really.
So maybe even more impressive than what's happened in terms of the new guys that Shaka is bringing in for me is the fact that DJ Carton appears to be committed to Marquette, despite the fact that Wojo's gone. Justin Lewis has showed up in all the social media videos as well, despite the fact that Wojo is gone. Stevie Mitchell is following through on his commitment, even though he was a Wojo guy, as is Cam Jones. Dawson Garcia is testing the NBA draft waters right now. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the pod, but he's keeping his collegiate eligibility. So if he doesn't follow through and decides to come back to school, all of a sudden Shaka has retained a lot of the top-tier talent that Marquette already had and then complimented it with all of his guys that were either going to Texas or that he was in on from a recruitment perspective.
Yeah, so that's going to be a heck of a difficult job to make all those guys mold. But
the common thread here is that these guys are buying into what Shaka is selling. They're buying into his culture. They're buying into his beliefs. And they're doing so in a relatively quick period of time. Like, it's April 15th. This has been, what are we, 3 weeks? Maybe four? Maybe four into Shaka's tenure. That's the most impressive part for me, is not the fact that he's brought in his guys, but the fact that he's been able to retain the top talent that was already at Marquette. I think that speaks volumes about the type of dude that Shaka is.
Shaka's got DJ believing. He's got Lewis believing. He's got Brian D believing. He's got all of us kind of, you know, looking on the bright side of things. And you're right, it definitely speaks to who he is, right? These guys wouldn't want to play for an unproven head coach. I think that was, again, a great job by Bill Scholl going out and identifying, hey, this guy's a proven coach. What did we talk about on the last podcast? We don't want an I didn't want a new guy. I didn't want a prove it guy. I wanted a proven head coach. I didn't want a guy who was like, oh, this could be the next so and so. No, get a proven head coach, start winning games, build your program up to the point where maybe you can take that leap like North Carolina is going to do, bringing the guy, their assistant coach, off the bench there. But Marquette's not at that point yet. That's why I think bringing in Smart, you're right, it's a perfect marriage. It seems that way. It seems like a perfect marriage now. I'm excited. It's a new day. But again, I'm not breathing too much into the coach speak just yet. I'm going to let the summer pass. I'm going to figure out how they're going to fit 14 guys with 13 scholarships. I'm going to try and figure all that.
We're not done here.
Right. I'm going to try and let the summer pass until we get that final roster, that first game is played. Then I will start making assumptions on how this year is going to go. But again, I like the hire. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does anything I just said make sense?
Yeah, it makes
because
sense.
I feel like I'm here and here and here. But
it makes sense. You're okay. The only one not fully believing, though. I'm all in. The commits are
how
all
can
in.
I not? But how
the
can,
new
how,
guys are all in.
How can you not be? I mean, he struggled to win tournament games at Texas.
He got so unlucky in some of those tournament games.
Okay, but you got to be lucky to be good. Good to be lucky.
Maybe the luck will come to Milwaukee.
Who knows? Who knows?
We are super lucky to have the opportunity to chat with Ben Steele of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Marquette beat reporter. He joins us next on Championship Blue.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel beat reporter Ben Steele. I don't know if he slept last night, but he's going to hop on the pod with us right now and talk a lot of Marquette basketball. We got a lot of transfers in, a couple freshmen coming, following Shaka Smart to Milwaukee from Texas. Ben, starting things off from a broad perspective, of the guys that we've seen now, I think we've seen four or five new faces, or will see four or five new faces in this program. Does one stand out above the rest to you right now?
Yeah, you know, one guy who I didn't know much about because I, you know, don't really follow Texas Longhorns basketball recruiting very closely, but Keon Itajere, who he's from North Carolina, and he committed to Shaka Smart and his staff at Texas. Man, if you watch this guy's YouTube clips, man, his athleticism just like leaps off the screen at you. And he's like 6'10" and really long. And he's just looks like he's just scratching the surface of what he could be. I talked to his high school coach yesterday, and he was saying like, yeah, this kid's got NBA athleticism, and he doesn't even know it yet. He's only been playing basketball for 4 years. He started playing seriously as a freshman in high school, and you know, he was like a bench warmer for a couple years, and then, you know, he's starting to understand the nuances of the game. So I think he's a guy that's just got just tremendous upside. And if you look at, you know, Shaka Smart and his coaching staff, their history at Texas, they were really good at developing big guys. Like, you think back to Mo Bamba and Jared Allen and Jackson Hayes, and I'm probably forgetting some people off the top of my head.
That's a good three.
He's been really good at developing big guys, so they clearly saw something in him, and he's got the physical tools. Now it's just like putting it all together, and it's going to be interesting to see how he develops.
So, Ben, what do you see as the common thread between all these guys? I you mentioned a couple words, long and athletic, and it seems to be you know, a common thread with Ellis, Itajere, you know, David Joplin, the local kid. It seems like all of these guys kind of fit a certain mold that Shaka's trying to recruit in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they had a lot of guards, and I think all of them were about in the 6'4", 6'5", range. And, yeah, Joplin's a little bit bigger than that. He's like 6'7", so he could play down low, but he also plays outside. And so I think you're starting to see, you know, the kind of roster that that Shaka Smart likes to play. You know, I think he likes to use a lot of three guard lineups. That's why you see a lot of he's stockpiling a lot of guards. Like you said, like a lot of long, lengthy, athletic guys that, you know, Shaka Smart's, if you look at all his teams, they've all been strong defensively at, you know, every stop he's been at VCU and Texas. They've all been good defensive teams. So I think you could see, like, a team that's going to get after it defensively and get after you and kind of switch. They could switch a lot, play physically, maybe even pick you up full court like he did back in the, like Shaka Smart did back in his VCU days. It's a really interesting roster right now.
So is it Etijeri or Eddie Jari?
I think it's Etijeri, yeah.
Etijeri? Okay, I just wanted to make sure so we don't have to go back and re-record the entire podcast because Brian was calling it Etijeri.
It's actually Antetokounmpo. We're gonna do okay with these names, I think.
That's why I'm a print guy. I don't have to worry about this stuff. I just
got to
spell it right.
Well, hey, also, I want to look and point out one thing that we talked about in our first segment was the fact that we now have a Milwaukee area recruit on this team going into next season, David Joplin, four-star recruit. He played at Brookfield Central. This kid's athleticism was off the charts. He was wanted at a few schools for big reasons. He reminds me a lot of, and I wasn't just reading your article, which was great, by the way, but he reminds me a lot of Jamal Cain. But hopefully we get a higher ceiling than Kane. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, I think he's probably a little more polished basketball wise than Jamal was, and he's a little thicker too. So he can more bang inside, I think. Now Jamal's athleticism was like off the charts, you know, or not was, it still is off the charts. I think that's a good comparison. Joplin might be a little more offensive skill, you know, more all around.
Man, they need probably, that.
You know, shoot off the dribble and take guys off the dribble and, you know, that sort of thing. It's a good comparison, but you know, a versatile skill set in a 6'7" frame, you'll take that.
So, Ben, how important do you think it is, and Kevin and I were talking about this earlier in the podcast here on Championship Blue, how important do you think it is that Shaka is establishing a recruiting presence, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but in the city of Milwaukee? It was something that Wojo really seemed to struggle with. And he recruited great in-state, but really in the city of Milwaukee, what does that mean for the future of the program that Shaka's doing that right out of the gates?
Yeah, I think it's good on, you know, a lot of levels. I mean, first of all, I mean, it's just good PR. I mean, you see yesterday getting a local kid, how excited people were about that. And, you know, having a really good guy on top of that is just icing on the cake there. It gets people excited. And, you know, there's a lot of really good players in Milwaukee the last couple of years that have gone elsewhere. So just to establish the relationship with, you know, the grassroots coaches and you know, high school coaches, you see Shaka Smart's already offered scholarships to guys in the 2022 class. So he's definitely got an eye on that and definitely trying to cultivate those relationships.
Yeah, and certainly looking at the guard position, I mean, just seeing the guys that have come in, Ellis, and then you get Stevie Mitchell from last season who's coming in again now, and then you got Carton returning. And something Brian pointed out was the backbone of this team seems to be sticking around, even though they were Wojo's guys. You got Carton, Lewis, and Garcia. We'll talk about Garcia in a minute, but being able to keep guys like Carton and Lewis is just, it's vital to a team that's going to be so young next year and so inexperienced, but you have guys who are experienced playing at the university or maybe a little bit more comfortable. Does that speak a lot to Shaka's character and being able to keep guys around like that, or how would you interpret it?
He definitely thought that was important. As soon as he got the job, Shaka said, you know, he was hopping on a plane, and that first week on the job, you know, he flew out to Baltimore. This was the week before Easter, so most of the players were back in their hometowns. So he flew out to Baltimore. He flew out to Iowa to meet with DJ Carton and his parents, and he flew to Minnesota, and he flew out to California to meet with, you know, Dexter, and Arizona to be with Oso. So he was flying around. I haven't talked to Shaka about all that. I've talked to most of the players' parents, but they were all just impressed with how he wanted to, you know, just develop the relationships with the guys that he did know. He actually knew Shaka recruited Dawson and Oso at Texas, so he already knew those guys. So it was just kind of reestablishing that relationship. But he was really intent on meeting all those guys and meeting all their parents and, you know, whoever in their circle is important to them. And I would be interested, we're talking to Shaka here in the next, later today in early afternoon. I'm definitely going to ask about how he went about establishing that the connection with the returning players, because I think that was very interesting and very key to getting that core back for next year's team.
So, Ben, I want to get some clarity on Dawson a little bit. We all saw in his Instagram post that he's testing the NBA draft waters, but he's keeping his collegiate eligibility. Is your understanding that if he comes back to college, he's going to play at Marquette, or is he exploring other options? Did Shaka get through to him? You just mentioned that, you know, that he flew to Minnesota and they maybe met. Is his intention, if he comes back to school, to play at Marquette?
Yeah, that's the way I understand it.
Okay,
he's not in the transfer portal. So, you know, a lot of people that do that, some players enter both the NBA draft and the transfer portal. I think Mac McClung did that off the top of my head. So, but Dawson's not in the transfer portal. So I assume that if he does come back to school, that it would be Marquette.
Do you think he gets drafted?
No, I don't. I think he's intriguing, you know,
that's the thing, a
6'11 guy who can shoot, like, is definitely, like, NBA guys are definitely going to want to see him, but, you know, as we saw during the season last year, he needs to get stronger. He got blocked, his shot blocked around the rim a lot last year. Defensively, I don't know how he would hold up guarding fours in, you know, the NBA game. That would definitely be a challenge for him. But yeah, he's got skill. He's a skilled player, so it's definitely interesting. I think teams will want to bring him in and see how he fares, guarding, you know, different kinds of players. We'll see if he gets invited to the combine. That would be interesting to see how he pans out there. But I think teams are ultimately going to say interested in him as kind of like a two-way contract guy. And then, you know, Dawson's going to have to decide, you know, if he wants to grind his professional career through that way, grinding through the G League and trying to establish himself there, or coming back to college. You know, we'll see how he feels about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Oftentimes we forget about the two-way contracts and that being an option, even going undrafted. And that's going to have us all holding our breaths this summer just because of how much he means this team. He's arguably their best player going into next season. Really wanted to just finish out here. I guess if you could just clarify a little bit here, if we're looking at a starting lineup for next season, if you want to give us the way too early starting five.
Yeah, let it fly, Ben. Don't go, let's hear the starting five. Yeah. Get inside Shaka's head.
That wasn't my question. I lost it, so we're going on the fly.
That was my question.
All right, I'm going to assume Dawson's coming back, all right? So we'll do that. I'm going to go Dawson and Justin Lewis in the front court. DJ Carton for sure. And then I'm going to go with Tyler Kolek, the transfer from George Mason. Got to get a little shooting out there. Then, you know, I might throw Joplin in the starting lineup at the three.
Let's go.
You know, 6'7" guy. That's kind of interesting lineup.
It's
this team's a little thin on the front court. So
you took
and I'm sure they're
mouth.
I'm sure they're not done making moves. So we'll see how everything pans out. But as of right now, I think that lineup's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so it's kind of a small ball lineup, Ben. And it's a byproduct of what the roster is right now. Do you think that's the way Shaka wants to play? Or do you think he is actively trying to get bigger? I got to believe that at some point you're going to want to recruit some size playing in the Big East.
Yeah, I mean, like we talked about at Texas, he always had really good big guys. So I'm sure he'd like to add a few more big bodies and long arms that can protect the rim and rebound and, you know, catch alley-oops and all that. So, yeah, the roster, I think, is not done yet. I mean, it's definitely not done yet because they got 14 scholarship guys, and, you know, you only get 13 spots. So somebody's going to be the odd man out at least. And we'll see how that all shakes out. And, you know, college basketball, man, it's always changing day to day.
Thanks for reminding me of that question. That was actually the question that I lost on my page was doing the math. There's only 13 scholarships. They got 14 guys.
Yeah.
Not sure who that odd man out's going to be. But I think that was probably a conversation they had with Theo. John was like, and maybe it was Theo's kind of decision to move on too. But, you know, with that extra year eligibility, it was almost like, you know what, you've done your 4 years. Let's see what, you know, we're just moving on. But again, I'm not sure who that player is going to be, but obviously it's going to be somebody. That'll be a topic we'll discuss.
It'd be interesting to shake out. I don't want to hazard a guess on somebody's future, but if you just look, I mean, you look at the amount of guards they added, I mean, that would be the spot that you would predict it would come from, you know. Mm-hmm. They got like 8 guards on the roster right now. Somebody's going to look at it and say, yeah, man, I'm not going to play that much. I better go someplace else. So it'll be interesting to see who that is.
Ben, thank you, as always.
Thanks,
we can call him the friend of the show now. He's been on 3 times, right? That's the rule? 3 times?
I don't know. We'll let him decide. Are you a friend?
It's official when I get the paycheck.
Us too. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That's Ben Steele, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel Marquette beat reporter. More ahead on Championship Blue. The extra year of eligibility is looking good for some guys, not so good for Marquette fans.
Do we have to do this again?
No. This was the fault of a lot of Marquette fans who said, oh, we're finally done watching this guy play basketball. He's done. He's a senior. No, we're not done.
Brad Davison is back for another trip around the sun. God, I couldn't believe it yesterday, but I could at the same time. Like, it makes sense that kids are taking advantage of the role to get this extra lap, this extra run. And I will take the high road here, as I normally do, when it comes to, not Wisconsin necessarily, but Badgers Twitter is absolutely ridiculous when it comes to chastising teenagers or young people for deciding what's best for their future as opposed to them deciding what's best for their future. If Brad Davison decides this is the best thing, not only for his basketball future, but his life future, and he wants to do one more lap at Wisconsin, who the hell am I to tell him that he's wrong? It sucks. I'm not a huge fan of Brad because of the way that he operates on the floor. He did have a couple of unbelievable games in the NCAA tournament, especially in the North Carolina game. He really went off. But am I excited to see Brad Davison flopping and tripping all over the floor for another year? Of course not.
Stop.
But hey, it does give Marquette another opportunity to take him down. And my favorite Brad Davison stat is that he has made exactly 0 baskets in 2 full games played at Fiserv Forum.
I'm quite literally less excited about this than most things in sports. It's almost as if Demetric Trice now were to be like, hey, I'm coming back. It's like, dude, grow up. Come on. go play somewhere else.
I kind of like these stories, though, in a weird backwards way. Like, we all know how we feel about Davison just because of his style of play. But these guys that feel like they've been at universities forever become the most memorable college basketball players, right? Brad Davison. I think about Scotty Reynolds at Villanova back in the day. Jerry McNamara, Eric Devendorf from Syracuse. Those guys felt like they were on campus for 2 decades. These guys just become part of the fabric of college basketball because they're around forever. And because of the way that the sport has changed, where more guys are one and done now, like Cade Cunningham, who's going to be a top 3 pick in the draft, or Jalen Suggs.
I was going to say, not talking about that
Jalen
trash Eagles organization.
Jalen Hurts was not a number 1 pick in the NFL draft. He's still a starting quarterback in his second
year. I don't
know. Jalen Suggs, same deal, one and done, right? The one and done thing has become the norm. And the norm is not what we're seeing Brad Davison do or some of these other guys sticking around for 4 years or maybe even 5 years. That is, in a weird way, a fun part of college basketball because it's a rarity these days.
Right. It's more life for him. Like, he gets another year to play at a high level. Is he going to play in the NBA? No. Is he going to play overseas? No. Like, this is another year of high level for him. So for that, you're right. He made his right life decision to play another year of basketball. If he likes doing it, sure. I'm just not going to like watching him do it.
And he put this in his Twitter statement when he announced he was coming back, and I agree with this for sure. it'll be cool for him to get another opportunity to play, hopefully in front of fans at the Kohl Center.
That's, yeah.
And I think, you know, anybody that wants to come back for that extra lap, that's the cool part, because you shouldn't have to go through your senior season, your last season of college basketball, not playing in front of a student section. Not playing in front of your friends and family. Like, Marquette was fortunate enough to be able to get friends and family in to Fiserv Forum for the last couple of games of the season this year. But it was never full, obviously. They got some students in there late in the season as well on a select basis. So I think hopefully we're back to normal in the late fall and winter next year, and you can start to have some normalcy return to college basketball, and these seniors finally get an opportunity to live their final college basketball season. So for Brad Davison and anybody else that wants to take this route, I feel good from that perspective.
And it's almost like COVID, too, softened the NCAA rules on, like, transfer students.
Yeah,
they just passed that rule this week, too. It's guys who transfer don't have to wait a year now to play anymore, which is ridiculous. We're rewarding coaches by moving up in the hierarchy of programs, but then you're going to demoralize players for going from, you know, a bigger program to a smaller one, or just transferring because they're not comfortable. Again, we're starting to see a little bit more player empowerment. It's slow. It's a real gradual one. But for guys like Brad Davison who want to take advantage of it, you know, it's there for you. Yeah, go for it. We are not saying that you're making the wrong decision, but we are.
Just be ready to take another L when Marquette comes to town.
No kidding. Well, Brian, we'll have to do this more often.
No doubt, man. I mean, it's going to, if the last 48 hours are any indication, it's going to be a busy summer for Marquette basketball.
It's been a few too many long weeks. I just used some pretty bad grammar there,
that's
but
okay.
it's been a few.
Is that Marquette education?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. It's been a, but yeah, we'll get right back to it in a couple weeks here. I'm assuming we're going to have a lot more to talk about.
I think so, man. Shaka, I think, is going to continue to stay, you know, as the face of the university over the course of the summer. I'm sure there's going to be events as things start to open up. Maybe we get a backyard barbecue this year. That has been a super fun event for Marquette Athletics in the past that obviously just didn't happen last year because of the state of the world. But if things continue to return to normal, I think Marquette basketball is going to stay relevant all summer long. TBT over the summer is going to be great again. I would imagine Golden Eagles alumni, the defending champs, will be back there, so we'll have plenty to talk about throughout the offseason.
Yeah, and we will start our Dwayne Wade to the TBT. We will start recruiting him on this podcast. We'll have you guys doing it on Twitter as well, because that would be sweet if we got him to play. But again, thanks for tuning in, guys. We will talk to you guys in a couple weeks. We're going to have some Shaka Sound and a lot more to come.
And go Marquette! Vanilla, Rocky Road, chocolate, peanut butter, cookie dough, scoop.